Live from the Great American Alligator Museum in New Orleans, Louisiana, it's the Ringhausen Brothers Alligator Wrestling Hour. 30 minutes of hard-hitting, no-holds-barred discussion about the exciting and dangerous world of professional alligator wrestling. With your hosts, the eldest and best-dressed of the Ringhausen Brothers, author, songwriter, statesman, the first banjoist for the New York Philharmonic, and the legal representative of the International Brotherhood of Professional Alligator Wrestlers, a man who can put on both shoes at the same time, Richard J. Ringhausen. And also featuring inventor, sculptor, prestidigitator, six-time world welterweight alligator wrestling champion, and winner of the silver medal in alligator wrestling at the 1992 Summer Olympics in Barcelona, Spain, and a man who, in his younger days, could eat an entire box of cereal without once digging for the prize inside, the youngest of the Ringhausen Brothers and the star of your show, Alan J. Ringhausen.
Call Me the Breeze, doesn't it? Call Me the Breeze.
No, I don't know what it turned into there, but I think it was originally they called me the Breeze.
I think it was.
All right, we have.
I just like saying prestidigitator.
Okay, I'm sure you did. It's like me wanting to say the word, the town, or region of Oaxaca.
He's
my favorite.
Oaxaca.
One of my favorite.
See,
words.
Really like
into the studio with us here tonight on our podcast, we have Luke McGuire.
We were going to have Luke like a couple months ago, weren't we?
Yeah.
And he got like COVID or something.
And I was going to be here. I was really going to be here. Yeah, it was just one of those things. And here
we
are.
He was donating a kidney.
Please.
I had to go sit by my mother's bedside. She was not sick or anything. I just wanted to hang out.
You know what Luke does for a living? He's an actor.
Oh, that's right.
Oh, brother. Oh, brother.
Tell us about some of the shows. You've been in a few
like
things
real,
here and there.
Real life, shows.
Yeah, real live action thespian boy. So I started acting in high school. I hated sports.
What were the shows you did in high school?
Yeah, so we did a first one. It was called...
His hometown, Jerseyville. It's a small town in Illinois.
But they have a theater department.
But they had a wonderful theater department.
Wonderful.
Yeah, weirdly. It shouldn't be good, but for some reason it really is. Our fine arts there are popping. But, I was in this play, and it was called The Lottery. It was based off of Shirley Jackson's short story.
I read that short story.
That's
a wonderful story.
You get
the
killed
whole town.
If you get your name drawn, they kill you, right?
Oh, yeah, exactly. I got to play one of the village people, and I loved it because you got to, like...
Were you the cop or the Indian... Or the construction worker, or which one of the village people
was
were
the,
Yeah, it took me a second on that too.
Okay.
I was the plumber. No, was there one of those in the village people?
There's a Navy guy. Go ahead.
So yeah, so I didn't want to play sports anymore. I was tired of sweating my ass off just to like lose every game. And I wasn't that aggressive. The coach would always be like, you got to want it. And I was like, I don't care. I don't want it. What do we want? I don't need to get one over on these other high school boys from 20 miles away. I don't care. So
the trick was to be really good at sports and then get the best looking girl in school.
Dustin Hoffman said that,
nobody told you about that, huh?
Dustin Hoffman said that at his high school, you were a guy, you were expected to go out for football, like, Calhoun High School. He said that he went, and did the football practice thing, And that afternoon, some friend of his or some young lady said they were looking for someone to, like, play some part in the school theater group. He said that he went there, and he's, like, the only guy there and a whole bunch of young women. He said, and he went back to football practice later in the day.
That's
it was
dudes.
Him and a whole bunch of young dudes. He quit football, went into acting, and that's how I got into acting.
Me and Hoffman have too much in common, I'll say. that's pretty much my trajectory as well, except for everything that happened after. He was a real juggernaut. I'm all right, but No, so, yeah, didn't love sports. I did until I didn't. And then, yeah, I went to, my mom was like, why don't you audition for the school play? And I was just like, okay, fine. So I did.
She also knew you weren't an athlete.
Oh, they knew.
Oh, wait, I got to tell you something. Okay, so I'm hanging out with mom and dad, right? Mom's recuperating, or she was.
And she told you you're not an athlete.
No, and, you know, dad, you know, he's talking about getting old, you know, and what it's like getting older, you know, that you can't do things like you used to. I said, you know, dad, I said, it's interesting you say that. I said that, you know, when Sue and I were moving from our house at Calhoun, we were packing everything up, and Alex came, and he was helping us pack stuff up, and I find... We find the box with the baseball gloves. I said, let's go throw the baseball, you know. I said, and I...
So come on, son. Let's have a catch.
Exactly. Sure, you know, Dad. Just like it's an insurance commercial.
Field of Dreams is what I was...
So, okay. Anyway, so Alex and I go out, we're going to throw the ball, you know, and I cock back and throw it to him, and it doesn't get there. It bounces before it gets there. I said, wow. And Dad says, well, you were never really any good at that. This is what I heard from my dad today.
Like 40 years after the fact.
I said, you know, I played a ton of baseball. I just could throw the baseball.
Yeah, but you were terrible.
Apparently, according to my dad.
Well, I was thinking this the other day. My parents drove me.
I hope they loved you.
They did too much because they drove us all over the place, all over the Midwest for sports and practices and games and... And they drove our friends around, everybody around, and it's like they never told us that we were terrible. They never once were like, how about you just don't play this year?
And hey, hang around with my dad, apparently.
Yeah, he'll lay it on the line.
For real, that would have been nice, because instead I, you know, just did all that, and I rode the bench. I always kept book. Nothing is worse than when you're a kid keeping book during a baseball game.
I can tell you one worse. my brother Dennis and his buddy Jeff Gettin were both...
Two fictitious names.
Yeah, they went out for basketball 5th, 6th, 7th, 8th grade every year. They just never played, right?
They had a coach that was...
played the 5 best kids and never gave the other kids a chance.
None of that business of let's give everyone a chance and give them all a little experience.
Didn't happen.
It was, if you're the 5 best, you play and the other guys sit on the bench.
So they're in 8th grade and they're in a game and the team is losing like 100-12. And the coach leans forward, looks down the bench, says, Ringhausen, Gettin, get in there. And they're both sitting on the bench and they scoot down to where the coach said, we can't. He said, sure you can. This is your big chance. Get in there. And we can't, coach. We didn't put on our uniforms under their warm-up suits. They were still wearing their street clothes. Just giving up.
Oh, that's awesome. That's hilarious.
Yeah, but they lettered.
But you couldn't tell back in that day because
it was a big L.
So funny. But you couldn't tell back in that day because everybody wore Converse on the street and on the court. So it was just like they got away with the shoes, you know?
It wasn't like they were wearing velour.
You know, I was over at mom and dad's house looking for something. I can't remember what it was, but rooting through the closet, and out falls dad's Letterman sweater from high school. From like, what, 60 years ago? He's got his Letterman sweater?
Probably more than that.
But it's not like it was buried in the bottom of the closet. It was just on the shelf like he wears it every other day.
That's like 72 years old.
Yeah, but
I want that.
I get the strong feeling he thinks he could throw a baseball better than me.
Oh, I think he could.
Well, this is also a man who does strenuous farm work, like 11 hours a day, right?
That's it.
Yeah, that.
Sure, either his arm.
He has cut back to just 11 hours a day. Okay, look, you know, from time to time.
Oh, let's go in. Wait. Before you knock that off, you'd asked him shows that he'd
been
in.
Yeah, what shows he'd been in.
And let's skip ahead from high school to things
that you've
done.
I thought we were starting.
His answer was taking quite a while, so yeah, we better get to that part.
Oh, I'm a talker, man. So anyways, so left high school. Right before college, I didn't know what the hell I was going to do, so I went out for the Illinois Theater Festival competition thing. Not competition, but all the colleges came, right, to U of I, and we went there. I auditioned, and I got into, like, a ton of schools. Like, you know.
I just have this visual
picture. By auditioning.
Audition, I just have this visual picture of like 30 guys standing around in different positions around the stage going, to be or not to be or not to be or not to be.
No, half of those guys were making out.
That's the Professor Warfield from The Nutty Professor.
Is that what he did?
To be or not to be.
All right, what shows were you in?
Oh, man. So, yeah.
Anything professional. Skip ahead from all the college stuff. All
right, screw that. So, dropped out of college, got an agent, started doing, you know.
An agent! Woo! Got an agent!
You got your equity card?
Yeah!
Absolutely.
Do you still have an agent?
Yes, sir.
Yeah? She hot?
Yeah. She's all right.
Why isn't she here?
Yeah. She should be speaking for you
I'm thinking next time we interview the agent.
Good. They'd be down, I swear. But they're cool as hell. But yeah, so I've been on audition. I got Chicago Fire one time.
Chicago Fire?
Yeah, the disaster show.
Chicago Fire?
Yeah, oh yeah.
Okay, what'd you do on Chicago Fire?
Yeah.
He ran on across the street and said, fire!
I said, fire, fire. I said Chicago Fire. No. I got to, I played a college kid, right? So it was in a frat house, and it was a hazing incident. I got hazed to death, basically. So I'm on the floor.
You got to do a death scene?
Yeah. Oh, totally. Oh. It was my first ever like real gig on film and, or on TV. And like, yeah, they poured tomato soup all over my sweater. So it looked like vomit.
Really?
And, they would give me, we did like 50 takes of this. I had to lay on the floor. And they would give me Alka-Seltzer in a crushed Dixie cup and then water, and my face would foam up out of my mouth. And then I would have to have a seizure on the floor. And because I was getting hazed to death, because the story was in the show that these frat brothers made this kid drink a whole bottle of soy sauce on a dare.
And then eat Alka-Seltzer.
And then, what's up?
Oh, no, go ahead.
Oh, but yeah, exactly. So I ate all this, drank all this soy sauce, allegedly, and then I was tachycardic, which means you're allergic to sodium.
Soy sauce.
Exactly. So it was just like, and apparently that show, a lot of those problems and crimes and things are based on real life things. So I guess that really happened down in
Alabama.
That's
not the kind of thing that you would wear one of those medical alert bracelets for. No soy sauce.
it's one of those things, though, that now there's a lot more of it because college kids saw that. I never thought about making a guy drink soy sauce. Let's have a whack at that.
It's like the one thing we didn't think about.
They had you laying on the ground, and they poured tomato soup on you to make it look like you had vomited that up.
Yeah, well, I already
did. And so then the second take, bring in the cream of celery. Exactly. Pour that on him. All right, not onion soup. Put some onion soup on him.
Right. They said, we need Campbell's Chunky, damn it. Yeah, that was pretty cool. That was a great day.
That was your first one?
That was first one ever. I was 19.
Were you scared? Were you terrified?
No, I was just excited because you got to like hang out all day on set, you know, eat snacks. The craft services table blew my mind.
Better than what we've got here?
Did you have one of those canvas director's chairs that said McGuire on it?
Yeah.
No, I got a trailer. I got my own trailer, though, that had a little camper.
It said,
and it had my
men's.
It said men's. Exactly. So I got to go change in the bathroom, and no, but it was cool. I had my name duct tape across the door, and I was just like, this rocks. But yeah, I did that, and then after that, I booked this show Empire on Fox. I played a reporter. So I had to ask Terrence Howard, the main character, if he was in support of the LGBTQ community, because his son on the show is gay. And I had to be like, yo, Terrence, do you support the gays? And he's just like, gave some, you know, answer, and then that was it. But that was a really cool one. It was the first time I ever played an adult in anything, really. Like, as I was, I
you'd
a,
have to
or
play
in
it.
Life, yeah.
I have a, yeah, exactly.
Okay, wait. Let's try.
Now that's acting.
Are you ready? These pretzels are making me thirsty.
Then I was on Murphy Brown, and
really?
No, Kramer was on Murphy Brown.
Let's hear you do the pretzel line.
Yeah, go ahead.
These pretzels are making me thirsty.
What about you?
These pretzels are making me thirsty.
These pretzels are making me thirsty. Let's do a commercial.
Okay, let's have our actor do the commercial for us.
Do our commercial.
Oh, brother. Here we go. So today's episode of the Ringhausen Brothers Alligator Wrestling Hour is brought to you by Dr. Ferd's 6-week alligator wrestling course.
Cut. Do it with enthusiasm. Think about it. Get into the character of, I'd really like this product.
Ah, so you don't want me just to blow through it?
No, we want you to sell the product, like, man. Like,
all right.
This is it. You know, this is the sponsors. Best thing on the planet. All right, let's try it again.
Wait.
Okay, you ready, Luke?
Ready? Action.
Today's episode of the Ringhausen Brothers Alligator Wrestling Hour is brought to you by Dr. Ferd's 6-week alligator wrestling course. Are you a longtime listener of the Ringhausen Brothers Alligator Wrestling Podcast? Are you also a weak and worthless loser?
God, what the hell's that?
Yeah, I want to see a little more enthusiasm, don't you?
And a little less spit.
Yeah.
We'll have to clean that screen later.
All right, wait. Okay. Take three.
Today's episode of the Ringhausen Brothers Alligator Wrestling Hour is brought to you by Dr. Ferd's 6-week alligator wrestling course. Are you a longtime listener of the Ringhausen Brothers Alligator Wrestling Podcast? Are you also a weak and worthless loser? Do you yearn to become a champion alligator wrestler, just like Allie Ringhausen? Well, it's Dr. Ferd's to the rescue! Brother Brad just opened a new school to teach the fine art of alligator wrestling. Brad will start you with the basic holds, the half and full Nelson, the roundhouse, the sleeper, the atomic pile driver. Each week, you will master a new hold and participate in dynamic training. You will be, and... and will you be fighting...
Cut!
Okay.
Okay, we'll cut that out and we'll pick up from...
Let's pick up on at dynamic training.
At dynamic train.
Take four.
Each week, you will be... take five.
God!
Take five.
Each week, you will master a new hold and participate in dynamic training. And will you be wrestling real alligators? You bet. And not just any alligators. Dr. Ferd has gathered some of the biggest, meanest alligators on the planet. He keeps them lean, fast, and hungry, so you know that when you walk out of Dr. Ferd's class with your green belt, the highest rank in the world of alligator wrestling, that you will know that you are the real thing. The real deal, baby. No more going to the beach and having sand kicked in your face by some alligator bully. Grab that gator by the tail, fold him in half, and make him say uncle. Uncle Ferd? Or should we say Dr. Ferd? Don't be a weak, worthless loser for another second. Sign up for Dr. Ferd's alligator wrestling class today. First 10 applicants receive a free first aid kit.
All right.
Okay. And cut.
Cut.
You're clear. My work is being an actor is exhausting.
Good job, isn't it?
Yeah, it is for like the 3 seconds when you get work. Other time you just hang out and think you suck and are never gonna work again. And then you do and you're like, I'm back, baby. I'm back.
Yeah, but think about all that free time you have for perfecting your craft.
Right.
When you do a skit like or a show like Chicago Fire, do they actually give you the script ahead of time or do they just put it in your hands like that and say, let's go?
I got the whole script. They emailed me all like 35 pages of this whole script.
And really?
My scene was 1 page long. But they still, they give you all the info just cause I think they really want to make you feel like you're a part of it. Right.
What's the most famous actress that you've had an affair with so far?
Sure. Let's see.
Was it Goldie Hawn?
It was Goldie Hawn. How'd you know? Who'd you been talking to? No, it wasn't Goldie Hawn. It was Pamela Anderson.
Was it Goldie Hawn's daughter?
Who's that?
Yeah.
What's her name?
Heather Graham.
It's not Heather Graham.
Heather Locklear?
No. It's the gal that was married to the lead singer from the Black Crowes. Hudson. Kate Hudson.
Kate Hudson is.
Oh, I wish.
Goldie
I loved her in, what was that? Almost Famous. Remember that movie?
Yeah, that was her first. That was her breakthrough film.
It was.
Her dad
wait.
Was one of the Hudson Brothers.
Wait.
Remember the Hudson Brothers
TV
show?
Wait.
What?
You were right. I was wrong.
Well, that was.
I love that.
That was nice.
Let's just take a moment. Moment of silence here.
It's got to be a good feeling.
Do you want me to just dub that on a loop and play it about 20 times
you can.
For you?
Make it the rest of the show.
You can just smile and laugh.
Okay.
Go ahead. Kate Hudson.
Yeah, absolute.
Wait.
Talented.
Kate Hudson.
You did a skit for The Onion.
Yeah,
A lot of people don't know what the Onion is, satirical.
America's finest newspaper.
It was a magazine, newspaper, and now it's a website that they have a lot of stuff on.
Yeah. I got to play during the 2016 presidential election. I was tasked to play a college kid. It was called The Average American Voter. It was a little series they did online. So it was like a 2-minute video. I played a college kid named Spencer Samuels, and he was just like at a frat party talking to the camera in the bedroom about...
Did they make him drink soy sauce?
No, fake beer out of a red cup. But yeah, just talking about, the things that would make me more motivated to go out and vote, you know.
I'm thinking Kate Hudson.
Is she running?
Yeah, right. Is she in the cabinet?
She's running from you. Okay, what else you been in?
Yeah, I was in the show.
That's it?
That's all. That's all. I was in my own dreams. No, I was in this show called Lovecraft Country on HBO. It ran for like one season. I was in the pilot episode.
That's a short season.
It really is. It was quick. But yeah.
So you had a recurring character in that?
No. Another one scene, one and done. Huh. I'm the ultimate, you know, one episode guy. The ultimate, he went that way guy, right?
Weren't you involved in like the Chicago Second City kind of improv group up there?
Yeah, so it's funny, like I didn't make my college improv team, but then I dropped out of school and I went out and started doing improv and actually like did all right and had a really, really good time and was on a lot of just like Chicago's a town of like you have Second City, yeah, but that's sort of like trapped in like the 80s for some reason. It's just more of like a corporate comedy world with like Jim Belushi's face on the wall and like, you know, $500 improv classes. I like to do more of the independent stuff.
Just to be clear, you couldn't get in Second City.
Yeah. So I couldn't, I didn't make the audition and, you know, so just doing more independent stuff. I auditioned for them a few times. I actually just never took the classes cause they were a little pricey, but, yeah, I did, the Improv Olympic.
Let me tell you something, Luke. You don't need classes. You either do it or you don't.
Thank you.
There's no try.
Do or do not, there's no try.
Just like running a land trust.
Yes, exactly.
Who does that?
Nobody.
But yeah, no, didn't make Second City. It's kind of a racket. Screw it. It's kind of a racket. It's they're taking, you know, all these like so many hundreds of students and charging $500 for an 8-week course just to go in and do bad improv, which you can do for free or $10 at the Playground Theater or at the Improv Olympic. You know, actually, their classes are expensive, too.
One of the
things I noticed, I mean, Sue and I went to the Second City years ago.
Prior to the 80s.
And recently, we went to Second City. We went to a version of it they had in L.A. And they did the same skits.
You're kidding me.
No, I swear to God. Oh my God. Not entirely, but there were some of them that I recognized as being the same skits. I mean, you know.
Come on.
Yeah, it's a formulaic thing for sure. They kind of know what sells and, you know, I'm not here to trash Second City, but... I didn't make the cut. But
you ever do any live theater?
Yeah. I did
Julius. That's a different animal altogether.
Totally. I did theater for a very long time. I did Julius Caesar one time. It was one of my favorite productions ever. I played in the beginning.
To be or not to be.
Exactly. Not quite that one, but all Shakespeare's the same. Depends on who you ask. But yeah, I did Julius Caesar. One of my favorite scenes I ever got to do in live theater was I played the scoundrel in the beginning of the play, which is just like a guy running, like a dirty guy on the street, a scoundrel.
I like the sound of that.
And Caesar's men come out and just beat the crap out of me.
Me? You point to me?
Yeah.
I could be a scoundrel. Dirty, who's, rotten scoundrel.
There's a couple of scoundrels.
Who said scoundrel? I like scoundrel.
I don't know. I have no idea what you're talking about.
It was Han Solo.
Oh.
Princess Leia called him a scoundrel. Scoundrel. I like that.
Speaking of Carrie Fisher.
I thought she called him Scruffy.
That was a Scruffy nerf herder. Yeah. So who are you calling Scruffy? That's a different segment.
Okay.
Okay, wait, go. I'm sorry, Luke, you're the focus here.
Oh, yeah.
Oh, no, I don't care. You guys can riff all day.
Who, us?
Luke.
No, we want to know about
Luke.
No, we want to know about you.
Oh, well, thank God.
No. Okay, guys, this. We ask, you know, a lot of our guests this question. If you were, instead of being an actor, a professional baseball player, and it was your turn to come up to bat, what's your walk-up song?
Oh, man, it would have to be either Panama, Panama, ha, 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 or...
Van Halen, Rick, in case you didn't recognize that.
Yeah, it was Van Halen. Let's see... Or you know what it would be? It would be all like 12 minutes of that Who song, which is like, her man's been gone. And it sings about...
That's a quick one while he's away.
Quick one while he's away. Yeah, yeah. It's one of my favorite songs of all time.
You are forgiven.
You are forgiven.
That's the bass player singing that high part on that, by the way.
Oh, John so Entwistle. Good.
John Entwistle.
I like when he goes, dang, 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 dang.
And then instead of, they were going to put cellos into the song, like some cellos.
I don't think they'll let you have a 12-minute walk-up song.
instead of, they were going to put cellos in, but instead they just go, cello, 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 cello. Okay, by the way, I'm going to change my walk-up song. Okay. I want that song from Horrible Bosses, How do you like me now?
How do you like, me now? How do you like, how you like me now?
I like the intro song of that movie where it's like, you got no time for the underdone. You got no fear of the thing that you don't understand. You
what
got
a bad da, da, da. Is that same movie?
Yeah. It's the intro where they're pulling in their cars in. I don't know why I remember that, but it's Spoon, the band of Spoon. It's, the song's called The Underdog. It's like,
it's not bad. It's not, how do you like me now?
Nothing is. I mean... Alan, what's your walk-up song?
Imperial March.
You're the Darth Vader song, right?
You darn right. If that's not intimidating, I don't know what is.
That's great. You know Ryan Helsley, the guy, Cardinals closer, Ryan Helsley? Helsley, right? So his song is Hell's Bells. And whenever he comes into the game, all the lights go down, and then you hear bong, bong. It's the best.
Yeah. When I walked in at my wedding dance, the walk-in song was Highway to Hell.
Oh, that's awesome.
Hey, Alan.
I'm just joking.
And it was.
Are you kidding? I can't tell.
I didn't have a walk-in song. Did you have a walk-in song?
No, as an old... I mean, years ago, they didn't do anything creative. They didn't do that kind of thing.
They did the classic bump. Ba-da-da-ba-da-da, Scooby-Doo-doo-doo-doo-doo-doo-doo-doo.
They did the Scooby-Doo theme song.
I love
Scooby-Doo. Scooby-Doo-doo. Where are you?
But with the real 70s sound to it. Yeah.
Like it's being played by the Archies.
Okay, where were we at? We were talking about your fabulous
career. Yeah, tell
us
about your career.
Oh, man.
Who is the most famous person you've met?
Other than us. Who's the third most famous person you've met?
Third most famous.
Oh, wait a minute. He's also met Uncle Dan.
Okay. Who's the fourth most famous person you've met?
Oh,
man. You've met Kristen, too. Who's the fifth most famous person you've met?
One time I got to meet BJ Novak. He played Ryan on The Office.
Yeah.
That was really
little
cool.
Little man.
Yeah, exactly. Ryan started the fire.
I'm little man? What? I'm little man?
You know, and it's funny. When I met you, I was expecting like a midget type.
Little man.
Oh, man. No, he was cool, though. He came to my college and did like a stand-up set and the talk and stuff. And then we all hung out outside the theater or the space and just like by the stage
drank
door.
Drank soy sauce.
And just drank a bunch of soy sauce, cut with vodka, and just hung out. No, but waited. And he finally came out because he probably just felt bad for us. We were trying to stage door him, you know what I mean, where you hang outside. But he probably just felt bad for us and was like, all right, I'll pop out. But it was like February. It was like negative 20 degrees in Chicago. We were just a bunch of parkas hanging out. But that was kind of nice. Yeah.
Rick, your most famous person.
Bill Clinton.
Wait, really?
Shook hands with him up in Hannibal.
I was a politician back in the day, man. Yeah, you, Alan?
Well, I also was there and shook hands with Bill Clinton and Al Gore at the same time. And
at the same time?
Yeah,
Two hands.
We have two hands. I also shook hands with Barack Obama.
Oh, nice.
Oh, that's pretty cool, too. I think he might even rank a
and,
higher.
Well, wait a minute. There's one other I forgot about.
Did I say Hitler? I meant Clinton.
And you were here for this one as well, Rick, the night we met Bulldog Bob Brown.
Oh, the wrestler. Yeah, Bulldog Bob Brown.
Was he in, like, the old ECW or something?
No,
or what
they
was
were.
Deal?
He wrestled, like, yeah, but he was in the group, like, with Harley Race and Von Erichs.
Old-time
oh,
wrestling.
Oh, he was in the Von Erichs? Have you guys seen the Iron Claw? yeah, that movie.
But that's like a great movie. Yeah.
It's awesome. It's really.
They were having a professional wrestling, traveling wrestling show.
Right.
And was coming to Calhoun High School.
What?
And Rick and I were there, and we were playing ping pong because one of the Calhoun High School teachers
thought he was
the greatest
stuff.
Ping pong player in the planet. And Rick and I both beat him mercilessly. And then we were outside because they were setting the gym up for the wrestling match that night. And we're outside behind the school, still kind of lingering, talking to this big Cadillac, big long Cadillac, pulls up and the window rolls down, and it's Bulldog Bob Brown.
Whoa.
Because he's going to be in the show that night, and all the other wrestlers in the car with him. He says, "Where's a good place to eat?"
Only it's more like, "Where's a good place to eat?"
Super gruff voice. And the guy we're with is
like the sort of voice that 25 years of drinking whiskey straight will give you.
And the guy that we're with, the Calhoun High School teacher, he's like, "Well, there's a great place up the road that serves German food, and I think you'd really..." And before he can finish his sentence, "I don't want no German food. I want a fish and a beer." Right across the street, barefoot. Thanks. Off he goes.
Wow, so he went to the barefoot bar, huh?
Yeah.
Yeah.
Man.
Bulldog Bob Brown.
Bulldog Bob Brown.
Did he put you guys in a chokehold or anything?
He went in there and just cleaned house. All the guys, he walked in, you know, and they're like, "Hey,
I want that table."
They're like, "Oh, here's a new guy coming in. Think that he's going to just walk into our bar and own the place. Come on, big guy. Let's see what you got." He just mopped the floor with all of them.
Wait, did you guys see the match?
WrestleMania now.
Oh, yeah, we saw the match.
Well, we did stay and see the match.
We stayed and watched the match.
Were the Von Erichs around?
No.
Oh, they didn't make the tour?
They weren't part of that. This was Wrestling at the Chase group. And they had their own troupe of wrestlers there that, you know, stayed in this area. Von Erichs were a kind of a notch up from there.
Oh, I see. I've always
wanted to come to St. Louis once in a while.
They would come to St. Louis once in a while.
I see.
And it was always a big deal when they would.
Oh, man, the Von Erichs.
You can see the Iron Claw. You can see the sleeper hold.
But those guys, they were dying left and right, young.
Yeah.
Oh, yeah. Now that movie is like depressing. It's awesome, like those like little sequences where like
you can't
Rush is gonna play, and like
I mean they got into the soy sauce, and that was it.
That was what did him. If I was a pro wrestler, that's what my move should be.
Look, I'm cutting you off because we are out of time.
This soy sauce is making me thirsty.
Well, anyway, I hope this has been helpful to you, Luke, and the bits of wisdom Rick and I have imparted upon you.
Next time, bring the hot agent with you.
Oh, she'll be here. Jenny, hear that? No, but y'all.
And Kate Hudson.
Kate, you hear that? She's listening in right now. She's in the other room.
All right.
Wouldn't surprise me.
Well, no, this is actually going to be a real career boost as well.
You can add this to your resume.
I sure will.
All right. See you later from Rick Gator.
Luke McGuire.
Gator.
And Alligator.
This has been the Ringhausen Brothers Alligator Wrestling Hour. The Ringhausen Brothers Alligator Wrestling Hour is brought to you by Uncle Jim's Roasters. Tastes just like chicken, but it's not. And by Cannoli's Canine Cough Drops. If your dog is coughing, he's coughing for a cannoli. The part of Julius Caesar was played by Luke McGuire. No portion of today's broadcast may be reproduced without the express written consent of the North American Alligator Wrestling Association. And with that bit of legal business in hand, see you later from Rick Gator and Alligator. This has been a Ringhausen Brothers Alligator Wrestling Network production. Except no substitutes. How do you like us now?